point and about the what we call the prodigal son. But at the end of both of those first little parables, he makes the observation that there's a rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just people that need no repentance. And I think we probably don't have a clue in the world how things must be in heaven, how God and His throne and His attendants react when we obey the gospel. There are a lot of things in this life that ought to fill us with some sense of satisfaction and even some sense of self-worth. And most of the time, if you're like I am, there's not much that I do that fills me with self-worth. But when you think about that God reacts that way, Larry, when you think about that God's reacting that way, we are privileged people today, and we're proud for you. And I hope we can do anything we can to help you to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you to be faithful to the commitment you've made today. You've encouraged us. So it is a truly joyous occasion. Second order of business, as Adam noted this morning, our memory verses from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And yes, I'm going to ask you to say it, and no, it's not up on the PowerPoint. In fact, Mark suggested when I said, he said, do you want the memory verse up? And I said, yeah. And he said, I said, it's, you know, although we're reading, he said, well, I can put the screen up. And so if you need the screen and you don't have it committed to memory, it's Mark's fault. Mark Goat, standing in the back. You can talk to him afterwards. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, if you want to say this together with me. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Apostle John, the brother of James, the sons of Zebedee, nicknamed by Jesus, Sons of Thunder. Aside from the Apostle Paul, wrote more of the New Testament than any other New Testament writer. I don't know that we often stop and think about that. He wrote the most unique of the four Gospels, a very interesting perspective in regards to the Gospels. Very detailed, very organized explanation, not just of the things that Jesus did, but of the significance of the things that Jesus did, the miracles that he did. And he takes a number of them and gives great detail in regards to not only the miracle, but the conversations that ensued. And he starts with the reading that Howard read for us, claiming that Jesus was God, and ending by saying he did a lot of other signs that I haven't written in this book, but I wrote these that you would believe that he was God. John is unique. The other books that he wrote, most of us are familiar with Revelation, which is the only one that he signs his name to. And then there are the epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And he does not include his name either in his gospel or in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And what's ironic about that is that his authorship has been subject to almost no debate through the ages. There is some discussion as to whether or not he wrote 2nd and 3rd John. But there's practically no disagreement over the idea that John, the son of Zebedee, the friend of Jesus, wrote the Gospel of John and the epistles of John. Part of the reason for that is that of all the epistles, as far as of all the apostles, as far as we know, he was the one who lived the oldest, lived at least until probably the late 90s, maybe even to the turn of the first century. And some of the younger men that were kind of disciples of his wrote extensively and quoted from the letters that John wrote, which we have and we know as 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John. And his authorship is just almost beyond disagreement. And that's interesting for someone who did not sign his name to these epistles. But the external evidence is overwhelming. And the internal evidence is also very compelling. If I were to ask you which of the apostles that you see yourself most like, my suspicion is most of us would say Peter. I think because Peter is the apostle that we are the most familiar with all of his failings. I mean, you think about Peter, not only do you see these grand things that Peter did, but Peter just messed up over and over and over. One of the redeeming qualities of Peter's life for us is but we can identify with him. He's not bigger than life. He's not like Paul, who just seems like he rises above every occasion. John is unique. In his gospel, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And at the cross, when Jesus is dying, it is John that Jesus charges to take care of his mother, which is really fascinating, given that Jesus had living brothers to take care of his mother. And yet, Jesus felt so strongly about this man that he was the one that the Lord charged to take care of his mother while she lived upon the face of the earth. And so as you read the gospel and as we read these epistles, there is an intimacy with Jesus, a knowledge of Jesus, a familiarity with Jesus, a friendship with Jesus that seems to kind of come through at times in some of the things that he wrote. And as a result of that, what you see is a lot of similarity between 1 John and the Gospel of John. He talks a lot about the same images. My suspicion is these were things that struck him as he listened to Jesus preach for 3 years. He talks about light. He talks about life. He talks about the words of God. He talks about love. He talks about truth. He talks about fellowship. He talks about darkness. He talks about being a part of the world. All of these things he had to have listened to Jesus say over and over and over. And what a fascinating man he must have been. I would remind you of one thing about him, though. This is the same man who is so devoted to Jesus that at one point he convinced his mom to go to Jesus and ask if he and his brother could sit at the right and left hand of God. John was not without his faults. He also is the same apostle that goes to Jesus on one occasion because the Samaritans weren't looking very favorably at Jesus as he passed through their land and asked if he and his compatriots might call down fire from heaven to destroy them. There's some ways I really identify with John, and that's probably one of them. But when you read the things that he wrote, the heart that he had, we have spent a good part of this year focusing upon the heart. No one can debate the heart that John had for his Lord. And so as we read through these epistles, these letters, I want you to give attention not just to the things that are said, but the way they are said and to the themes that pervade through. We're not exactly sure when these letters were written. Some people think they were written right around the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm more inclined to think that they were written towards the end of the first century, probably between 80 and 90 A.D., when Paul had done his work. The gospel had spread all throughout that part of the world. And very possibly, at least tradition states, that John spent his later years in Asia Minor, probably around Ephesus, and that these letters were written to those people. And I want to offer a couple of reasons why John wrote the things that he wrote. In Acts chapter 20, as Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem in his third missionary journey, he calls the elders from Ephesus to the island of Miletus, and he has a discussion with them. And he warns them that false teachers would rise up. In fact, he even warns them that from among the elders themselves, false teachers would arise, and they would try to steal away God's people, and that those elders were to be watchful for that. Remember, these are the elders of the church in Ephesus. Later on, when Paul sends Timothy to Ephesus, in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy on a number of occasions about false teachers. In fact, Adam read one of these sections this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3, that men would depart from the faith and that they would give themselves, having itching ears, to people who speak all kinds of ungodliness for gain. That's the same city, by the way, that Paul warned the elders about. And now Timothy is warned about the false teaching that's coming along. If you're already in 1 John, I want you to notice 1 John chapter 2. I want you to notice verse 26. Because John makes this observation twice in the first letter. He says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." And then again in chapter 3. Beginning around verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor does he love his brother. This is the message we heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered. Why did he murder him? His brother's works were evil and his were righteous. Do not marvel if the world hates you. And he goes on to talk about these things that are being taught that are in contrast to the Word of God. John apparently writes this letter because what he recognizes is that within that congregation, much like you would find in any other congregation, there is an intimacy that he has with these people, and yet there are seeds of destruction that are being planted. And so he is writing to forestall any apostasy that might take place, particularly in three areas. As you read through these, there are three things that John emphasizes. He emphasizes the nature of Jesus as God. One of the things that was being debated late in the first century and into the second century was the nature of Jesus. The Gnostics tried to claim that Jesus wasn't really God in the flesh, and that that he couldn't have come as a man, and that the spirit and the body are separated. It was a very philosophical argument. And John over and over and over identifies the fact that Jesus was God. And I want you to notice that he says Antichrist is anyone who would deny that. Secondly, I want you to notice that he says over and over and over, we need to be keeping God's commandments. We can't serve the Lord and live in sin. And then the third thing that he notices and emphasizes over and over is that we have to love one another. So I would ask you to be looking for those things as we read through this, and hopefully it will refamiliarize yourself with this wonderful book, and you can derive some benefit as John preaches to us for the remainder of the evening. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. By this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, and because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he's promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teaches you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who is of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but indeed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave his commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment and abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, and we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He who has overcome the world, who is he who has overcome the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, that he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Second letter of John, even more personal, much more abbreviated, much more pointed. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. And then the third letter, even more pointed, predominantly to one man. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers, who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a worthy manner, in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write you with pen and ink. I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. I don't know how you react to reading the epistles as we're doing. I think it must have been a unique experience to have lived in that day and age, to gather together on a Sunday like we've done today, and have maybe one of the elders or maybe one of the evangelists to stand up and say, hey, we got a letter from John today. Can you imagine what the reaction to that must have been in the audience? Here's a man that walked with the Lord. Here was a man that was a connection to Jesus himself. Here was a man that was inspired to deliver the Word of God. And what he says in the letter is, I want you to know how much I think about you. I want you to know how much that I care about you. I want you to know that the greatest thing in the world is to hear that you're walking in the truth. And I want you to know that Jesus was God in the flesh. And I want you to know that if you love each other, you abide in God. And I want you to know that if you'll go keep His commandments, that eternal life abides in you. Do you think those folks walked out of worship services on the day that letter came, made better? And I must tell you, when we can get to where we read the epistles that way, to where they are God's personal message to God's people, even though they're written through a spokesman, they are written in regards to circumstances where people like you and I are trying to get up every day and go serve the Lord. And so many of them are so full of encouragement. And even at times rebuke, because we need to be corrected. But we ought to walk away from any consideration of those letters with a sense of purpose and a sense of appreciation that our God would think so much to write us and say, I love you, and I think about you, and I want you to succeed. Now get out there and do it. So I'll leave those things with you this evening. Wonderful letters, and I hope that you will give some personal appreciation and time and study to them so that you might benefit from them even more. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, John writes about obedience and the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ and the propitiation available through His blood. If you've never taken advantage of that, never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you've never put on Christ, you've never confessed His name publicly, or if you have and you're not living the confession that you made before God Himself, you need to make your life right. We can help you. We invite your response while we stand here.